676. Sound Jesus saves, Jesus saves, spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves, bear the news to every land, climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward 'tis our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Wafting on the rolling tide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Tell to sinners far and wide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing ye islands of the sea, echo back ye ocean cave. Earth shall keep her jubilee, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing above the vital strife, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. By his death and endless life, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing it softly through the gloom, when the heart for mercy craves. Sing in triumph o'er the tomb, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sound salvation full and free, highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory, Jesus saves. Let's see, what was it? 637. Father is omnipotent, and that you can't deny. A God of might and miracles, 'tis written in the sky. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. Though here his glory has been shown, we still can't fully see the wonders of his mightiest throne. 'Twill take eternity. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul, cleanse and make me whole. It took a miracle of love and grace. The Bible tells us of this power and wisdom all the way through. And every little burn and flower are testimonies too. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. Amen. Pick another one. 430, 430, 430, 430. I heard an old story, how Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew. His cleansing power revealing how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory. Cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with death as redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
5:8-6.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but a smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh or a tear can remain when we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but it's blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
One more and we'll have our offering. Does anyone have a... Brother Ramel, would you help me out with the offering?
Amen.
At the end of the verse. How about 443? 443.
Hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath is covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Hey.
Roger, does our duet going to sing tonight? Really?
I'm just running like a
speed. That's terrible. What was your excuse, Jackie? Oh, you have none. All right. All right. Well, I'm not going to sing either. I wanted to preach tonight about the wedding at the well. I started to call it the woman at the well, preach out of John chapter 4, but I thought I would change it and make it the wedding at the well, because wells play a very important role in marriages, seems like. I didn't know that until I started checking the Bible out. And I found out that it's a well. It's a pretty nice place to meet the girls, apparently. There's several instances in here in the Bible about that. And so I thought we would start over in Genesis chapter 24. And then we'll go from through the Old Testament into the New. Genesis chapter 24, Begin in verse 1. Follow me in your Bibles now tonight. And Abraham was old, well stricken in age. The Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, he said, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. All right. Sounds good so far, doesn't it? Abraham decided that it was time for his son Isaac to get married. He'd been sitting around the house for 40 years, and so far as we know, he'd never even been out on a date. Now, God had made a promise to Abraham a few chapters back, and he told him, Abraham, I'm going to make of you and of your seed a great nation. And Abraham is old and stricken in years. He's got a son, but and his son's 40 years old. Apparently, he just wasn't interested in girls. Abraham was 140, and he wants to be a grandpa. He wants a grandchild to bounce on his knee. And verse 1 tells us that he's old and well-stricken in age. And at this time, he was already a widower, because his wife Sarah had died back in 1817 B.C. when she was 127 years old. And all of his friends were grandparents and great-grandparents already. So Abraham decides to give Isaac a little shove in the right direction, okay? And here's how he did it. He calls his servant in. It was most likely Eliezer of Damascus. Genesis chapter 15 verse 2 tells us that Eliezer was his servant, in charge of all of his property, everything. So he called him in, said, Eliezer, I want you to load up some of our camels with goods and gifts, and I want you to go over to Haran in the land of Mesopotamia and find a wife for my son Isaac. My brother Nahor lives over there, and he's my people. Eliezer said to Abraham, he said, but what if the woman will not be willing to come with me? Here was Abraham's answer by faith. He told Eliezer, he said, the Lord God of heaven will send his angel before you and you shall take a wife unto my son. Eliezer was a very obedient servant. So he loads up these camels and takes some other guys with him, and they take off for Haran in Padan Aram. Now, you look on your map and you'll find it's not just across the county. It's a long way over there. And so he traveled and finally arrived. And when he got there, outside the city of Haran was the well. Everybody used the water from the well. It was a community affair. And he arrived at the time when the women of the city would come out to the well with their pots and pans and things like that, and they would fill them up at the well with their household water and carry the water pots back to their home. So Eliezer's here at that well. And he prays. Here's what he said in his prayer. Lord God of my master Abraham, let it come to pass that the damsel, that's what they called young women back in those days. If you call some girl that today, she'd probably whop you over the head with her purse. They don't know what a damsel is. They'd think it was a bad word. But he used it in his prayer. He said, let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. I don't know how much water a camel holds, but I've heard they can go a long way on a tank and get a lot of miles to the gallon, but I don't know how much their tank holds, you know what I mean? And he says, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. And he says to God, let her be the one that thou hast appointed to be Isaac's wife. You see how they're bringing God into this? We want a woman whom God has appointed. How do we get in touch with them? You know, it's a wonderful thing, and this comes to mind. The Holy Spirit, I'm sure, brought it to my mind. But one time we were down here on 3rd Avenue years ago, and we had a lady that came and joined our church who was an excellent organist. We didn't have an organ, but we had a piano, and we had a lady that played the piano. Now we've got an organist, but no organ. I think it was on a Wednesday night that we met and said, let's ask God for an organ, because I know that there's somebody around here that has an organ in their home. They bought it for their kids. The kids have already married and left home, and all it is a piece of furniture sitting in there taking up space in their living room. And so, believe it or not, we went to prayer. And we all were agreeing in prayer. We needed an organ. That was on a Wednesday night. Thursday, the very next day, I got a telephone call from a lady that lives way over yonder out the other side of El Cajon at Alpine. And she called and she says, Pastor said, you don't know me, but she says, I have an organ sitting in the living room of my house. And I don't play it anymore. She says, we started a church up here in Alpine, and I was just a girl at the time, and I went out in the community to the stores and things and begged for money from the people to get enough money to buy an organ for our church. And we bought one. We bought it and used it for years. And she says, then they came along and upgraded and got a newer and better organ. And they said, let's give this organ to her because, I've forgotten her name now, because she's the one that went out and raised the money to buy it. And she says, I don't use it anymore. She says, I wonder if your church could use an organ. That was the next day. The next day, we found somebody that had a pickup, and we got two or three other guys. You know, those things are heavy. And we drove out to Alpine to her house, and we loaded that organ up in the truck and brought it back, and Sunday morning we had organ music in the church. Now that's how God answers prayer, and that's the way God's going to answer prayer here. Let her be the one that thou hast appointed to be Isaac's wife. Okay, he says amen at the end of his prayer, and here comes a pretty young lady with a flock of sheep. No, that's not her. I'm getting them mixed up. I told you there's more than one. Anyway, this is Rebecca comes out there. She's coming out there for water. That's Nahor's granddaughter, and she's got her water pitcher on her shoulder. And she went down to the well. By the way, those wells are interesting. Have you ever seen pictures of some of those wells that they had over there? The water is way down there in the bottom of the hole, and the well is big around, and they have steps that goes all the way around it, and each one gets lower and lower and lower, going around and around until you get down to the water. And then you fill your water jug up, and then up and around, and you come out the top again. And it all depends on how low the water is how hard it is to get to the water. Not all of them are that way, but many of them are in that part of the country. So she went down to the well, and she filled her pitcher, and she came up. And Eliezer says to himself, it's now or never. So he said to her, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my Lord. And he did. And then she voluntarily said, I will draw water for thy camels also. Now, that's a coincidence, isn't it? What do you think about that? And she did. It just, that just doesn't happen every day. So Eliezer took from his treasures a golden earring and two golden bracelets and gave them to her. And he asked her, he said, "Whose daughter are you? And is there room in your father's house for us to lodge in?" And she told him who she was and said, "You will be welcome in my father's house." Then she ran home and told her folks about this man that she had met at the well. Then her brother, Laban, he's going to check it out. So he ran down to the well to see this man and invited him and the men with him into their home and set food before them. Eliezer told him, he said, "Before we eat, let me tell you who we are and why we're here." He said, "I am your Uncle Abraham's servant." Now, I don't know, they didn't have computers and email and things like that back then, even telephones. Now, I have an idea, it had been a while since they had communicated with one another. But Eliezer then proceeded to tell them what had happened at the well. And then both Rebekah's brother Laban and her father Bethuel said, "This is from the Lord. Rebekah is here before you." Now, fathers, this is a good way to get rid of your daughter. He says, "Take her and go." "Take her and go. You better be careful, little girl. Your daddy's liable to say that. Some old boy comes after you one of these days." I like that. They did funny things back then, didn't they? And "Let her be thy master's son's wife." And then old Eliezer sent his men out to the camel, and they began bringing some of that stuff in that they had brought. And they took out precious jewels of silver and gold and the goodly clothing that they had brought. It was tokens of their master's wealth, don't you see? And they gave them to Laban and to Rebekah's mother, making points with his mother-in-law to be. And then they ate a big supper and went to bed. Early next morning, Eliezer's out here preparing to leave. He's ready to go home. And they begged him to stay for 10 days, but he's in a hurry to get back home. So they called Rebekah. They're finally going to ask her permission. See what she thinks about this. She hasn't said anything yet. They ask her, "Wilt thou go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." So Rebekah arose and took her damsels. They were her maids, handmaids. And they rode upon the camels and followed Eliezer. Meanwhile, back home, Isaac went out into the field in the early evening to meditate. He lifted up his eyes and he saw the camels coming. At about the same time, Rebekah saw Isaac. And she asked Eliezer, "What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?" Eliezer said, "That's Isaac." She dismounted from her camel and covered herself modestly with a veil. Eliezer went out to talk to Isaac and told Isaac the things that had been done. And then Isaac brought Rebekah into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to be his wife. And it was 20 years later that the twins, Esau and Jacob, were born. But this is the first time in Genesis 24, verse 67, that the word love is found in the Bible. This turns out to be the year 1827 BC, and mankind had been on the earth for 2,148 years. Two thousand one hundred and forty-eight years before the word love came into man's vocabulary. That's something, isn't it? All right, Isaac and Rebekah had a son. They had two, Esau and Jacob. Without going into the story of the division between the two boys, we know that Jacob had a similar experience at the same well. In 1730 BC, this is in Genesis chapter 29, Jacob went out from Beersheba there in Israel toward Haran in Padanaram. And when he arrived, he found this well in the field. Bound to have been the same well. Shepherds had already assembled there with their three flocks of sheep, waiting to be watered. There was a great stone upon the well's mouth. I don't know why they hadn't moved it, but they hadn't yet. And Jacob asked them. He says, "You guys know Laban?" They said, "We know him." "Is he well?" "He's well." "Here comes his daughter Rachel with his sheep." Listen to this, what it says. "And it came to pass when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother." See, they're cousins, first cousins. "That Jacob went and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban." And Jacob kissed Rachel. Oh, there's love the second time, isn't it? Then he told her that he was her cousin, her Aunt Rebecca's son, and she ran from the well and told her father. Her father came out to meet Jacob, and the Bible says that Jacob loved Rachel and told her father, "I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy daughter." And he says, you got a deal. Free labor for 7 years. At the end of 7 years, Jacob told Laban, give me my wife. That evening they had a wedding. But Laban is a slick old bird. He takes Rachel's older sister, Leah, and dresses her up in a wedding gown with a veil over her face. And they stood before the preacher or whoever solemnized the marriage, and he says, do you? And they says, I do. And he said, all right, I pronounce you husband and wife. And they didn't lift the veil to kiss her. Maybe they didn't kiss at the weddings like they usually do now. But anyway, the Bible says that he went in unto her, and the next morning Jacob found out that he was married to Leah, Rachel's older sister. Well, he complained to his father-in-law about it. Laban told him, he said, well, it's a custom around here that the oldest one gets married first. So that's the reason why I substituted Leah for Rachel. But he said, if you still want to marry Rachel, serve me another 7 years. So he did. And the Bible says that Jacob loved Rachel more than Leah. Okay, that's two. Meeting at wells. Let's go over to Exodus chapter 2, in the year 1502 B.C. This fellow by the name of Moses. And Moses had a similar experience at a well. Moses had killed an Egyptian down in Egypt and had to flee for his life from the face of Pharaoh, the ruler, and he went clear over to the land of Midian, and the Bible says he sat down by a well. And while he's sitting, well's a good place to meet girls apparently, so he's sitting there. And here comes seven of them in one crowd. I mean a whole bevy. They were the daughters of Reuel. We also know him as Jethro, the priest of Midian. He was a sort of a preacher, you know, the spiritual leader of the people there. And they came to the well to draw water for their father's flock of sheep. And there were some other shepherds there that came and drove the girls away. Moses didn't like that. He stood up for them and he helped them. And he watered their flock. And as a result, you know, normally the girls would have to stand off over here until the guys had their flocks all watered. And then when they left, then it would be safe for the girls to come up there and water their flock. So they got home early that evening. And Jethro asked him, he said, how is it that you come so soon today? And they said, an Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds,
and also drew water enough for us and watered the flock. Jethro said, where is he? Where is this man? Why did you leave him out there alone? Go call him that he may come and eat bread with us. So they did. They went out there and called him in, and Moses stayed there with them. And Jethro gave Moses his daughter Zipporah to be his wife. So he met his wife at a well, as well as the other guys. Now, this is interesting. Tradition has it that the angel Gabriel had his encounter with Mary at the city well in Nazareth. They built a big church there over that well, the city well. And I copied this. It says, according to the Greek Orthodox Church of Saint Gabriel, Gabriel being the name of the angel of the Lord there, the angel appeared to Mary near the well of the Virgin, whose waters originate in the spring right under the church. They built the church over the spring where they got the water for the city. I visited there back in 1994. When I was over there, the Bible doesn't say, so I'll conclude that the place that it occurred is really not all that important. The fact that it happened is what's important. And that doesn't have anything to do with a wedding at the well, but I thought I would throw that in, get Jesus in here somewhere, you know. And then there is recorded in John chapter 4 an account of Jesus meeting a woman of Samaria at Jacob's well. It's there in Samaria. You'll remember that he and his disciples had been ministering down in Judea around Jerusalem, and they were traveling from Judea up to Galilee. And by the time they got to Jacob's well, the little village of town of Samaria there, Jesus, for some reason or other, sat down at the well and told his disciples, go into town, get us something to eat. And while they were gone, Jesus is sitting there at that well. And it was about noontime, and a woman of Samaria came out to draw water, and Jesus engaged this woman in a conversation that I would like Jackie to help me out with, if she will come up here. She's going to do the woman's part, and I'm going to do the man's part. The man, by the way, is Jesus. And the woman has had 5 husbands. And she was living with a man that she wasn't married to.
So that has, she's not any closer to that woman that I am to Jesus. I don't. But that, this has nothing to do with it. But here is the way that it went. Jesus began the conversation by asking her, "Give me to drink."
"How is it that thou, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans."
"If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water."
"Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle?"
"Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life."
"Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw."
"Go, call thy husband and come hither."
"I have no husband."
"Thou hast well said, 'I have no husband,' for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly."
"I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship."
"Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth."
"I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things."
"I that speaketh unto thee am he."
"Come, see."
Wait a minute.
That's what you said.
Wait just a minute. Okay. I'm going to put something in here because she didn't say that to Jesus.
All right.
She left her water pot at the well, and she went into the city, and she told everybody what?
"Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?"
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Jackie. Let's stand together. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Brother Gene, will you dismiss us in our prayer, please? Amen. May the Lord bless you. Thank you for coming tonight. It's been a joy to be here with you.